I would like us to start today with a reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Let us read the first 7 verses. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, 2 men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. This is that passage that I would like us to focus on for the beginning of our sharing. And now let us take a moment for prayer to the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we turn in our prayer toward thy throne of mercy and grace, Lord, we pray that this blessed resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ may be renewed, that our memory may be refreshed, that we may understand the significance of that great event that happened in a very silent way. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that thou today and for the rest of this day and for the rest of our pilgrimage inspire our prayers, that thou fill our hearts with praise and thanksgiving to thy holy name. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that thou lead us and teach us to worship thee in spirit and in truth, to remember the suffering and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to remember this glorious resurrection and the wonderful ascension in the sight of thy disciples, Lord, and thy apostles. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that we may continually, day by day, as we travel through this world, through this valley of death, through this desert, O Heavenly Father, that we may continually remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and how his words were fulfilled in his suffering, in his strife, in his agony, just as thy word was fulfilled in his life, in his joy, in his healings, in his proclamation of thy word and will, O Father. And as we meditate upon this word of thine, the testimonies that might even appear somewhat confusing to us and difficult to put them together in harmony because of our very limited knowledge and understanding of the Holy Scripture. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that as we meditate, as we seek thy will, as we search the Scripture, that thou also help us, that we may seek thy will in our daily walk, and that we may search our own hearts and minds, O Lord, and that as we are growing in the hope of life everlasting and the glorious return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we may also be changed from faith to faith, from understanding to greater revelation, to more and better application of thy word in our daily walk. O gracious Lord, that we may be growing toward that wonderful and glorious change that thou wilt make in our resurrection, as we, O Heavenly Father, journey through this barren land, O turn thou this land into the springs of living water. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that this desert may blossom with the hearts and minds that will understand thy word and believe the gospel, O Lord. But first, gracious and loving Heavenly Father, grant us thy resurrection. May our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be revealed to our heart and mind as the one that has all the power in heaven and earth, the one that suffered all, the one that declared thy truth in words and in deeds, the one that rose up again on that third day, O God. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that we may experience that third day in our hearts and minds, and that we may know that thou art our Heavenly Father in Christ, and that thy Son is our only Savior, and that we are thy children that belong to thee and thee alone. And no one else may claim us, for we are thine. O grant us that resurrection, Lord. May we walk in that new life in Christ. May the words of thy angels sound in our ears, not to seek the living among the dead, but to remember his word and answer, respond in our daily walk accordingly, trusting in thee, having full confidence in the Holy Scripture, and even those things that we know not and understand not, thou reveal to us, and grant us, O Heavenly Father, that we willingly, gladly, joyfully take the burden of our cross and walk in the steps of the Savior, that we can see the marks of blood dripping, marking the steps of the sufferer, that we may see that blood pouring from the cross, that we may see, O Heavenly Father, that blood and water came from his side. For just before that, it was finished. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that in our difficulties we may look up toward the better time, the glorious time of resurrection. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that thou give us that in our times of seeming rest and ease, we may remember thy agony. And in our sadness, when we are burdened and crushed, with awareness of our impotence, that we may remember thee, to whom all power is given in heaven and in earth, that we may receive thy power in our heart, in our mind, that thy word may be so powerful and strong in our understanding and in our daily walk, that all the principalities and every high power that is standing against thy will may be fallen down and crumble like the walls of Jericho, like the tower of the Philistines, above Samson, that we may see the difference, O Heavenly Father, between those that would rather be abused and tortured than make any omission or any transgression of thy will. And the others that abuse thy power to end up in a disaster. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we pray for that resurrection of that Lord and Savior who is and must be the master of our life day by day. Give us grace and power, we pray, to see thee as thou art. Even though we look as through a glass, even though we can see sometimes not very clearly, as through fog, may thy only begotten Son, the Son of Heaven, shine upon us with these words of truth and salvation, that we may see more and more clearly. Grant us, O Father, that resurrection. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, may thy will be done. May thy kingdom come. May thy power and thy glory and majesty grow in us, that we may worship thee. That we may worship thee in spirit and in truth, with love and gratitude, with praise and adoration. That we may offer our life and living and give to thee, our Father, and to Christ, our all. Oh, may thy will be done. Exalt and glorify thy Son. Proclaim thy gospel. Deliver the souls of thy children, Lord. Glorify thy name. Manifest the power of thy Spirit, Lord. And in all of that, grant us peace and joy in thee. Grant us, O Heavenly Father, to rejoice in thy salvation, even when around us we see darkness and iniquity. Help us to focus on our Savior and to follow in his steps to the end of our journey. Amen. Upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came. Who did come? The women. They came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. They had entirely different intention to do entirely different thing than what was to follow. Here we find that they found the stone rolled away. Who did roll the stone away? I hope that we will have time, our individual private time, to read through all four books, the closing chapters of the book of Matthew, and this one, Luke, and Mark and John, and that we can compare. And I hope and pray for that blessing from the Lord to in our understanding, to put the things together in a very wonderful way that we can see a more complete picture of the things that happened. But within this limited time and my very limited ability to share this with you, I would like us to somewhat follow more or less the events that happen here as described in the book of Luke in chapter 24. They brought to perform a custom, a tradition. I don't think that was in the law. I don't think it was the commandment of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ did not ask them to do that, as far as I know. At least I don't find any indication in the scripture. I don't recall any in my memory that this was anything but their tradition. It was an old tradition. It was a strong tradition. And it was their desire to express their affection and their respect for the one whose remains they were going to anoint with oil and with the spices, with the fragrances. I think that this tradition shows something that is human weakness. What they were doing, they were applying this special treatment, very costly by the way, on the surface of the body. They couldn't prevent that body from decaying, but even if they could preserve that body frozen as it was the moment the life left the body, was the benefit? There is a desire in human beings. I experienced that in my own life, my own journey, that when we have someone who is close to us or whom we were related very closely, and that person passed away, suddenly we feel a desire to do something for that person, something that we missed to do while the man or the woman was alive. The sense that there will not be another opportunity to improve our relationship, the sense of loss, and now we try to make up with some spices, with some ointments, with some special treatment. Well, that person cannot benefit from it. It's only making ourselves feeling better with something that is not real. In our environment, in the world in which we live, diverse groups, different people do it in a different way. They bring a lot of flowers. They prepare the body to appear in their understanding in the best possible way and so on. Why do we do that? Why don't we face the death as ugly, as terrible, as awful as it is? Perhaps the Lord will help us to understand that it's not as ugly as we think it is, that it's not as awful, that for those that are the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ who did experience His resurrection in their soul, death is a small change, and it's a wonderful and great change. It's a small price or small part of an investment into something that brings a great and glorious return. It's a little bridge from this life into life eternal. But I would like us to look into this and see what happened. They are coming with a certain concern. Who is going to roll the stone away? Who will allow them to do what they wanted to do? And as they come to the grave and they realize that the stone has been rolled away, they entered in. They're still having that intention to do what they came to do, to pour oil upon that body and spices and fragrances and so on. But they didn't find the Lord Jesus Christ. I would say that the Lord Jesus Christ did not wait for us to do something to his dead body. But he did advise us, he did command us that we eat the living bread, the word of life and truth, that we feed ourselves with that truth, that reality. They were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men stood by them. As they were much perplexed thereabout, they wondered what happened. Two men stood by them in shining garments. They just appeared there. They didn't see these two persons coming from a distance. They just appeared there. And the women were afraid, and they bowed their faces to the earth, or toward the earth. How much did they bow down? Was it, as we see on some presentations of the artists that are very popular among the people that like pictures, especially those unreal pictures? I wonder if they bow down almost to the ground. They were so afraid. The angels talked in a tone and manner that was encouraging, comforting, and correcting. They say, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." As we look into these words of the angels, the question is, why seek ye the living among the dead? Can we look into our life, into our practice, into our understanding, and search out if we perhaps, in one manner or another, seek Christ the Lord among the dead things of the world, the dead traditions, dead customs, and dead misunderstandings, dead ignorance? Do we see Christ, or do we seek Christ the Lord in the past instead of present? Do we remember our words instead of his words? The angel said, "Remember how he spake unto you." Do we clutch to the things that we remember, but that's not what he spake? Here the angels advised the women not to seek the living among the dead. And they testified, "Christ is not here." Oh, we remember that the Lord Jesus himself told to the disciples what's going to happen in the last days, or later on in their own experience, that someday or sometime you will desire to have just one of the days that you spend with Christ. But you will not. The past is not coming back. And the Lord is not leading us into the past, but rather into the future. And the world will say unto you, he is here, or he is there. Do not follow them. No. Christ is not in the religious world. He is here in this book. And in the lives of those that believe and follow the word of God. Quite a few people seek Christ in the old scriptures. And yes, it is the truth that there is so much about the Lord Jesus Christ prophesying, predicting, promising His coming in the old scriptures. But His life, His testimony, His teaching is presented to us in the New Testament. Now, in quite a few cases, without understanding the old books, we might not be able to understand the new books. But understanding the old books, we can in the light of the new books. The Lord Jesus Christ explained some important misunderstandings of the Old Testament books. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee. It's good to read the gospel books. It's good to read them and read them again and seek understanding and pray for understanding, and it's good to apply them. It was appointed for the Son of Man to be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. They did remember that. But they needed the angels to remind them. They did not remember that before. They were so much focusing on the most, or at least what appeared in their sight, in their understanding or misunderstanding, as the most tragic thing of their life. Death of Christ Jesus. Now, having heard the words of the angels, they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Here we have the list of the names, at least some of them. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Now we know the apostles did not go to the sepulchre. They did not try to follow an old and strong tradition. Perhaps the part of the tradition was that women would do that. But we remember after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, a man did something. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they took care of the funeral. And I think they also used ointments and fragrant fluids, oils, to anoint the body and to wrap the body into a lot of clothing, as it was custom to bury. But here, the women are bringing the news to the apostles and to the men. The words of the women seemed as idle tales, and the men believed them not. We have again that same thing that happened in the past. The angel appeared to Zacharias the priest to announce the conception and birth of John the Baptist, and Zacharias could not believe it. He said, how shall I know that? What do you want to know? Just wait and see. But he couldn't believe it. And he wanted to know, how can he believe something he doesn't want to believe? Well, that's a difficult thing. And the angel, Gabriel, I think it was, gave Zacharias a very heavy, difficult, but important lesson. Let every one of you be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I think I myself should repeat this lesson to myself many times. The same angel appeared to Mary, and Mary believed. When Elizabeth, the wife of Zacharias the priest, realized that something happened to her husband, she believed. I wonder if Zacharias believed right away, but had to suffer some consequences of his first unbelief, or did it take a longer time for him, but in any case, here we have again. The woman believed and the man did not. Why would their words seem to them as idle tales? If the woman said, the angels told us, remember the words of Jesus Christ, he is risen, as he said he would be. And if the woman said, yes, we do remember, and they asked Peter and John and James and Andrew and Nathaniel and Thomas and all the others, we remember, the Lord did say that. Do you remember? And they look at him and say, oh, that's kind of a story. I think that's terrible. It's awful. But it's so natural to human beings. I'm not encouraging the opposite, you know, Greek, Gentile people. They were idolizing women, and quite a few nations do that. Actually, in art and poetry and entertainment, there is a lot of idolizing women and abusing at the same time. I would think that if we idolize any human being, we are abusing that human being. In any case, the apostle believed them not. But Peter, in his somewhat more outgoing personality, he arose and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves. And then he departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. One thing is interesting. Did not the Lord Jesus Christ teach his disciples to pray? Why they didn't pray? Seek the Lord. Ask him to reveal to them, to give them true understanding. Well, if we ask true understanding, then we have to confess that we don't have it, or that we have at least some deficiency in that. It was hard for the people to just take it like that, or to bring themselves so low as they were. Two of them went the same day into a village called Emmaus. For me, here the resurrection of the Lord is shining more brightly. When he appears in person, even though the people don't recognize him, there is power. That power is in himself. And if anyone, even struggling, but seeking to know the will of the Lord, is just listening to the Lord, that power has great regenerating influence upon the heart and mind of human beings. These two men are walking from Jerusalem toward Emmaus, and they are discussing the things that happen. I think they were crushed. They were demoralized, desperate. And it came to pass that while they communed and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. They did not realize it was the Lord. And he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" What's wrong? Why are you so sad? What are the things that you talk about? What makes you so sad? And they were surprised that there would be someone. They probably assumed that he is one of the people living there, dwelling there in that area, and that the things that happened just recently, last few days, must be known to everyone. It's not a secret. And they said, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Could it be that you don't know the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And the Lord did not answer, "Yes, I am a stranger," or "I am not a stranger." No, he's giving them an opportunity to say what they think, what they feel. So he said unto them, "What things? Tell me about that." And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Him the chief priests and our rulers delivered to be condemned to death, and they had him crucified. But we," here they show why they are so sad, "we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And certain of our women also made us astonished." First, they were astonished that the Lord Jesus Christ was in the hands of the enemies, sinful men. And then they were astonished that he was crucified and that he died on the cross. How can he die when he returned to this life a few people? So many things were beyond their understanding, especially the things that are difficult, that they don't like. That's human personality, human nature, you know. We remember that when the Lord was talking about the workers in his vineyard, how he hired some early in the morning and they worked full day, and then later on the others, and later on the others, and finally the last ones worked only 1 hour. And he called first the last ones and he gave them full day pay. And they didn't say, "No, no, no, we cannot take that. That's not right. That's not fair. Look, we worked only 1 hour. That's way too much. We cannot accept that." No, that's fine. They can understand. Somebody is generous and just gave them so much. But when the first ones came that received exactly what they agreed to work for, they protested. Why? What was wrong? Why would they be disappointed and displeased that somebody else was paid just as much as they, and yet that person didn't work as much? See, that's human nature. We find it very hard to understand something that we don't like. It bothers us. But if the things that we don't understand and yet we like them happen, that's all right. That's not a problem. And they said here, even some women of our company, they also made us astonished. They were early at the sepulcher, and they found not his body. And then they came back saying that they have seen a vision of angels. Here it says a vision. Does that mean that the angels were not real angels, but just a vision? Or they thought so? Or maybe they thought, these women are hallucinating. They are so sad and so crushed with grief that they are seeing the things that never happened. But then they say, as certain of them which were with us, some of our group, the people we should trust and have confidence in to some degree at least, they went to the sepulchre, and what they have seen was exactly what the women have said. But him they saw not. That's a problem. As long as the people don't see Christ, they don't see anything correctly. So, these two disciples talked about these things, and they stopped. That's as much as they knew. All of that is astonishing and crushing, a grief, a despair. So, now is the time for the Lord to answer. Now he heard from them, he is informed, now his response. He said unto them, well, I understand your grief, and that is a tragedy, that's terrible. And what can we do? No, he doesn't talk like that. He told them exactly the way it was. He started with the worst thing, with the most difficult thing, facing the truth. And he said, oh, fools. What does that mean? What would be that in our language today? You stupid people. How can you be so foolish? Your heart is so slow. You just don't want to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? You see, we as human beings, or perhaps I should say I have difficult time accepting suffering. It's hard for me to suffer. But it seemed to me here that before I accept suffering as something appointed for me in this life, I cannot enter into God's glory. I cannot see how glorious, how wonderful, how delightful it is to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ as long as I resist the things that I must suffer. O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And they could say, as the women experienced when they listened to the angels, yeah, we remember that. Yes, it's true. But apparently they, at this moment, they didn't say anything. They just started experiencing, feeling some burning in their hearts. Some process was unfolding in their system, so to say. And the Lord proceeded on from the testimonies of Moses and then prophecies of the prophets, and he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What a spiritual therapy to heal them from their foolishness. He called them fools and of slow understanding, low IQ, spiritually retarded people. Not very complimenting, rather offending. But in their hearts, perhaps not consciously, but somehow they felt that this stranger is leading them out of their despair into the light of understanding the Word of God. Oh, that's resurrection. They started experiencing the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That resurrection they did not understand yet, but it's working in their hearts and in their minds as well. They're coming close to the village, their destination at the moment. And the Lord Jesus Christ is acting as if he is going to part with them. And they constrained him. They said, "Abide with us. It's toward evening. It's too late to travel. You cannot travel in the night. The day is far gone." So he accepted their hospitality and he went in to tarry with them, to spend the night with them. At least that's the appearance. Perhaps we can learn something from this about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They didn't see the resurrection. They have to believe it. If they are going to experience his resurrection, they must believe it. It's going to be experienced by faith. The other thing is, the things do not happen exactly the way they appear. It looked like the Lord Jesus Christ would go further. If he wanted to go further, he would go further. He wanted them to invite him, and then he would go with them. So they sat at meal. They prepared a supper, or someone was hosting there. The interesting thing is something that often happened in the scripture. The message, the text of the scripture is focusing only on three people. There must have been some other people. So they sat at the table to start their meal. Did they offer the bread to him? Was that as an act of hospitality, respect, honor? Did they feel like hosts and he is a guest? Or did he take the bread on his own without being offered? He took the bread and he blessed it. And he breaks that bread and gave to them, and their eyes were opened. And they recognized him. And that moment, he vanished out of their sight. What happened here? What is the message of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in this passage? He took the bread, they had that bread. He didn't create new bread. He took from them what they had. And he blessed it and gave it back to them. At that moment, they recognized him. I think there are many things that are in our heart, in our mind, many things that we learn from the scripture. But it's necessary for us to see those things in the hands of our Lord. To seek His blessing upon the gifts that He has given us. And to break this scripture open to us. We have the book. And we read it. And it's good to do that. But it's also necessary to read the scripture with the awareness that is the Lord's scripture. Read it prayerfully. Seek His guidance, His revelation. He vanished out of their sight, but His presence remained. The effect, the result of the Lord's presence, the power of His word remained in their hearts. They said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened the scripture to us? But He vanished out of their sight. His physical presence should not be their reliance anymore. They have to realize, to understand that the Lord is with them in His word, in their understanding of His word. Well, remember what they said to the Lord when they arrived into Emmaus, and it appeared that He would like to continue His journey. They stopped Him and they said, no, you stay with us, abide with us. It's evening, the day is far spent, the night is not the time for traveling. Now look what happened. They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. It was night. You see, once they understood the word of God, there was no night. Oh yes, there was night. Natural night, but spiritual light. And so they found the apostles, they found the other disciples, and before these two disciples from Emmaus could tell the rest about their experience with the Lord, I think they were these two disciples, Cleopas and the other. They wanted to bring the news. They received the news. The other disciples said to them, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared unto Simon. They still didn't say, He did appear indeed to the women. It was necessary Simon to be the witness. They would believe Simon, but not to the women. But Simon denied the Lord three times. How reliable was his testimony at this time? Well, it was reliable, not because of Simon, but because of the reality. The Lord did appear to him. So these two replied and said what things were done in the way and how they recognized him in breaking of bread. Two more witnesses of the Lord's resurrection. And as they are talking, discussing those things, encouraging one another and getting more and more into that awareness that the Lord Jesus Christ is risen, suddenly, the Lord Jesus Christ himself stood in the midst of them and he said unto them, "Peace be unto you." I don't know if this was exactly the usual traditional greetings, salutation, but perhaps it was close to that. If one of us would enter into a house where there is a group of people, we might have good evening. But if something special happened, we could use the same salutation in a more meaningful expression. Perhaps a very good evening to you. And if someone would do that, I think the group of people that heard that would at least pay some attention, more than just to a usual, ordinary good evening. But here, as the Lord appears suddenly, and he saluted them with these words, "Peace unto you," they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. I suppose that it was a spirit. Well, we know it was not because it's written here. But suppose that someday we see a spirit. What's so terrible and awful about seeing a spirit? Are the spirits so dangerous? Or, since we don't see the spirits day by day in our usual daily walk, perhaps we think that something is wrong with our mind. That we are hallucinating, that we are sick or something is wrong and that makes us afraid. I think if I was thinking or feeling that I lost my mind, I would be scared. But in any case, they were affrighted, they were terrified. Now we understand, I hope we do, I think I do, that's why he did resurrect so quietly. Nobody has seen that. Perhaps that's why he did not appear to all of them. They would discourage one another, they would confuse one another, they would make it terrible, and they would miss a lot of things. So the Lord appeared to women first. When something is beyond our understanding, sometimes the Lord will appeal to our hearts, to our feelings. And at times, when we rely on our feelings only, our mind will get confused. It seemed to me that out of these words, we cannot make a rigid rule and say, well, everyone has to experience it exactly the way I did. That would be terrible. And yet, the people are prone to that. The Lord must lead you exactly the way he led me. And if he does something else, I won't acknowledge him as the Lord. Only that one is the Lord that led me, not you. That can be awful, terrible, dangerous. So the Lord appeared first to the women, then to Simon. I think before of all of them, he talked to them. He told them the words. He foretold what will happen. Somehow they didn't hear it. They could not understand it. Why? They didn't like it. It looked too hard to believe, to accept. But now he did appear to the women first, and then to Simon, and then to the two disciples in Emmaus. And now he appeared to all of them. And right away, they revert back to the fear and ignorance of his word. So he said unto them, why are ye troubled? Why do you think all these wrong thoughts? Look. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It is myself. Handle me and see. Spirit does not have flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Now, they believe that he is risen, but it's too good to believe. They could not believe it for joy. It's amazing. Can it be? They wondered, not anymore whether that is the truth or not.